Good morning, here in Murray, Kentucky. This is the For Those Who Inquired podcast, and I am your host, Edward Marlowe, or as Neil Bradley and myself like to call it, the Whenever We Damn Well Feel Like It podcast.
Dave Winder wants us to change it to that.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a consistent day, it upsets Dave's life.
So we had a consistent day in the summer, and the reason that we don't have a consistent day now is because sports are back. And I want our podcast to either be somewhat proactive to things that are about to occur or reactive to things that have just happened. I want things to be as fresh as possible. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't get any fresher or nicer than college basketball's return.
Yeah. We didn't have a date. We had rumors.
Yeah. It literally just matriculated for months.
Yeah. Maybe this day. Might be that day. It might be after the first of the year. Could be after Christmas. Now we know.
Yeah, we know. November 25th.
You can play your first game that day.
Happy freaking Thanksgiving.
Yes, I like it.
I mean, really, if you think about it, we've got turkey, we got stuffing, and then we're going to have extra stuffing.
I hope so.
Basketball's into the rim.
The part I don't know about, because, you know, we have family events we go to for Thanksgiving. The wife says, you're going to be able to go? Like, I don't know the schedule.
I don't either.
We could be playing on Thanksgiving, and all the years I've done games, I've only done a Thanksgiving Day game one time. That's it. So I doubt we're playing on Thanksgiving. But the way the schedule is going, you never know. If you can get games, you might take them.
Yeah, so you and I were talking a little bit pre-show. First thing that you would like to dispel, Neil, exhibitions are allowed to be played.
Yeah, you can't play them before that date, though. So if you had exhibition games, but, I mean, they would count as part of your 27 allowed appearances on the court.
Yep.
Which is down four from normally you can play 31. They have exempt tournaments count for that's just one, so you can end up playing 32, 33 again. It's not the case. You get 27 appearances on the court,
mm-hmm.
and you could play an exhibition if you wanted to, but most of those are scheduled previously. So I would say the odds are we'll see few, if any, exhibitions.
Yeah, and so here's the other thing about it, too. You can play 24 games and play in a four-team, multi-team event where you played the other three.
Right.
Or you can play 25 games and play a three-team, multi-team event.
Right. So some of those might be open. I know we, you know, year after year, more often than not, play in one of those where we play round robin. I know a couple of those are being discussed in Kentucky, according to KSR, which
right.
airs on our WNBS station. They talked about two bubbles in Kentucky, one at the Yum Center, where Louisville would play and host X number of teams, and then one at Rupp Arena, where Kentucky would play and host X number of teams. And the teams would just play one another.
Mm.
And you could knock out a series of games against however many opponents you have there. It may be over a week, could be over a little bit longer. The old, but they're going to miss class. That doesn't work anymore because your class can be virtual, so that's gone.
Right.
That argument, and it's a valid argument. Don't want people missing class, but right now you don't have to. You can take care of all of it virtually if you need to.
Yeah, from an NTI perspective, I mean, I'm absolutely pro NTI and I'm absolutely pro classroom. I mean, from an education perspective, you can learn both ways. And as a matter of fact, certain classes maybe even are more effective from an online perspective, especially as you start to get into adulthood and you have a job and, you know, then you have children and you're trying to manage and get your master's degree and so on and so forth. But as a college athlete, you know, they already spend a lot of their time on the road learning as they go anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just part of the sacrifice that is being a student athlete is you're out of the classroom X number of days because you're traveling for your team as a scholarship or a walk-on
right.
athlete. So
that's just right.
It's part of it. That actually does fold well into what potential model might exist for college basketball
yeah,
this year.
It does.
And here's the thing. If we're going to be out of school across the country by, you know, Thanksgiving or say a shade after,
mm-hmm.
you know, for certain schools, and college basketball starts, well, right as you get off campus, all of a sudden you're starting to look at a limited bubble situation anyways across the country
right.
from a college basketball perspective. And then it'll be up to your specific conferences, and I would say probably even at the micro level, the universities. I mean, I keep hearing rumors that Murray State will be at 25%. I don't know if that's true. We'll get more guidelines as things continue to move forward. But I think, for the most part, the exciting thing So we're going to have college basketball.
Yes.
In some form or fashion.
And that was never discussed. That's what excited me, because during the football season, well, there for a while, they weren't discussing canceling. Then all of a sudden, we're not going to have games. We're not going to cancel. We're going to postpone the whole season. To my knowledge, that was not discussed over the last several weeks for college basketball, which means I think they can check this off and thank the NBA. Can you play basketball without everybody getting COVID? They did.
Yeah, absolutely.
They did.
Yeah,
they played every game, and they're still playing. And so far, no one got it from playing basketball, correct?
Correct.
So it can be done. We just have to do it.
And we have to do it smart.
Multiple testing. You got to obey all the guidelines and wear masks when you're supposed to, social distance whenever you can, and do all the things you have to do to play. And I don't think there will be any issue. I know the players want to play. The coaches want to play. The broadcasters, I want to broadcast.
I want to write.
So I'll do whatever they ask me to do, you know, within reason, to do those things. And I saw the NBA play. Those games are on radio. Those games are on TV. I know all those things can be done. So let's do them. However we have to do it. I'd love to see a packed CFSB Center. I don't believe that'll happen. And if it does happen, it might be late spring when it happens.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, the vaccination news coming yesterday. January, maybe we could start it. But I don't see everybody getting all that. I still think this is going to be an outlier season. Maybe next season we'll be back to normal by the time everyone gets vaccination and once we kind of learn kind of where we are.
The last time there was and I had a couple of friends text me this yesterday following up the vaccination news, and I'm not trying to be the harbinger of doom or even be an epidemiologist, but the last time there was a world pandemic was SARS. And while the United States didn't have to observe the SARS breakout like everyone else did across the world, that took roughly 2.5 to 3 years to get fully contained, fully contained. Obviously, I would like to think from a technological standpoint, we're a little bit more advanced than we were when SARS first broke. I would think, and again, this is just a ballpark figure, I would have to think that a vaccine would be mass available to the general public by the middle of 2021 at the earliest. And I believe that from a mass perspective. At the regional level, you're going to start to see it disseminate, but that's going to take some time. So, from a college basketball perspective, I think this is relatively positive good news.
Yes.
You have an NBA season that has set a precedent. You have the basketball tournament. The TBT has set a precedent. They were able to conduct a 22, actually. I think two teams ended up having to get out. Anyway, a 20-plus team tournament, I believe, in Indiana, if I'm not mistaken. Is that where they played it?
Don't remember.
Pretty sure it was. Well, either way, wherever it was, they've been able to play it. Hockey has been able to bubble and take care of its situation as effectively as possible. And now we've got a Stanley Cup race, I believe, between Dallas and – did the Islanders win last night? I'd have to go back and look. But
I think they play tonight.
Dallas is in, which has been a long time coming for them. So it's big time for Dallas. But I'm digressing. My point is you had these specific situations. You and I talked last week about Major League Baseball's decision to bubble. It's the first time since 1944 – that the World Series and all of its counterparts coming up to it will be at one location, which is amazing. If we remember, you know, you and I were alive in 44. I'm just kidding. You might have been alive in 44.
I was not. Ed.
You were not alive.
Shut your pie hole.
You were not alive in the year prior to the end of World War II. But in 44, I mean, you had, you know, there's a lot going on across the world in 44.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Rumor has it,
yeah.
World War II, the Axis and the Allies were in the middle of a bit of a crisis there between fascism and so on and so forth. So this is a little bit different. This is a different type of crisis, but definitely exciting to hear that college basketball is going to get off to hopefully a great Thanksgiving start. And again, there's a model of success here. What I'm actually curious about, Neil, is – one of the other caveats for the college basketball season is the fact that it's a minimum to 13 games. Now, you said this pre-show, you think it's extremely possible that, say, there's a conference that announces, well, we're just going to play conference only.
I think there'll be some.
This catches them.
Yes.
You know, hey, if you play a minimum of 13 games, you're eligible for the all-inclusive NCAA tournament that's going to happen. 353 teams. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. It's probably not going to happen. But you're going to have conference play.
Yeah.
Typically, even in some of these hot spots, we think it's possible. The Northeast looks like California. The Dakotas right now seem to be in a little bit of trouble. I know that the West Coast is literally on fire as we speak. So these are all new concerns. Again, the Dakotas are testing high right now from a positivity standpoint. But if we're going to play college basketball, hopefully even conference play can take place for some of these programs.
Yeah, and that there are a few eight-team leagues, so that covers them.
Right.
You play round robin, that's 14 games you're in. I think it made it an easy decision for some of them because the testing isn't free. It adds extra costs. I don't know who has the money to do what. I have no idea how that is going to work out. But for teams that is an issue for, then they could go to conference games and make that happen. Right now, I just can't see any teams, based on what we're undergoing currently, canceling their season and
right.
not playing. But yeah, at least at the Division I level, I can't see it.
We talked about men's basketball. I want to give a little bit of a shout-out to women's basketball. Of course, it was validated by this decision, and it looks like they're going to be able to play up to 25 games, which they can play. I think it's kind of mathematically the same way. They can play 22 with a three-team round robin, 23 with a three-team, play two other games.
Right,
they are going to be allowed up to 25 games. I'm not sure why they are getting two games less.
I don't know.
I don't. From a Title IX perspective, I'm not sure how that works.
Title IX seems to be convenient when they want it to be convenient. We want it to be fair for the women. But with the NCAA tournament, you're going to go play on someone else's court. But that's not fair. So what?
Yeah. At least you're getting a tournament.
You're getting a tournament. Shut up and go make me a sandwich. I mean, that's what I hear when I hear that.
It feels like.
Either you're going to be fair or you're not going to be fair. I don't understand the same number of games. Maybe there's a reason for it. No idea what that would be. But I get so worked up on the tournament where they talk about fairness for women's sports, and then they get screwed like that. Where, the number one seed is UConn, and you get to go play them. Oh, that's tough as it is. On their home floor.
Right.
Where you virtually have no chance of winning.
Yeah.
Might not have a great chance anyway, but you don't have any chance if you're playing them at their home court.
Well, that's a good point. I'm okay with that sort of stuff happening for conference tournaments. Big, big fan.
I don't have a problem with it because you've earned it, usually.
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong here, Neil, but wasn't there a time in the OVC that the first couple of rounds were home games?
Yeah, they did that. And there was even a time where the top seed hosted the tournament long, long time ago. Then they decided to go to neutral side. You have a couple of – at least a first round, I think. You'd play like early, and then the advancing four teams would head to Nashville or Louisville or Lexington, wherever they played them.
You know when that sounds good?
When?
Right now.
Could happen. They are proposing, and I haven't seen the numbers come out, but they did do this for football. We may talk about that later.
Yep.
Condensing the brackets for some of the conference tournaments. I don't know if they can do that for basketball, but instead of seeing an eight-team OVC baseball tournament, might see a four-team tournament, something
right.
like that.
Or if you're going to keep the same number of teams, let's have some home site games where you can kind of control the situation and then get a smaller group of people. Because big groups are the problem. A smaller group of people in a tightened area that's more controlled.
Yeah, that's usually your issue in almost all this. It's usually confined spaces where you get what they call the viral load, which is multiple minutes in with someone who has it, and that's normally how the transmission occurs. Normally, if you walk by and this is what the experts are supposedly saying, if you just walk by someone in Lowe's or Walmart. Unless they sneeze in your face, usually nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, and then take their sleeve and wipe your face with it.
So I guess you could get it, but it's unlikely. That's why you have to really guard against the gathering in enclosed situations. As I understand it, to get on the bus to travel with the team, we have to undergo, I think, testing 2 days ahead of time. You have to be cleared, blah, blah, blah. Temperature check to get on the bus. You got a temperature, but get on the bus.
Yeah.
Up to a certain – I mean, some people run a little hot all the time.
Yeah.
But there's a level to which you can't get on the bus.
That. If I'm running, me personally, Neil, and I'm going to make this dad joke. I've made it a couple times.
Okay.
I've had my temperature taken 6 times now in the last 7 days
gotcha.
As I'm attending, multiple sporting events, masked, distanced, keep him, you know, I do that anyways because I'm a reporter. I'm watching the scene. I'm not like on the sideline, like with the team. So, and as a photographer, I need to be far away from the action anyway. But, yeah, I'm running between 96.5 and 97.5, which on your FM AM dial is yesterday's favorites and tomorrow's hits.
Yes,
so.
Playing all the hits. Ed, 96.5.
96.5. I do. I run between 96.5 and 97.5, and anything lower than that or higher than that, you know, warning. You know, I'm either, you know, a little under the weather or a little over the weather. So, you know, that's the one thing for me. I like the fact that you're getting temperature checks. It's one of the first telltale signs of any sort of sickness whatsoever is your body fighting infection. So,
yeah. And usually when you feel fine and it's higher than normal, you're going to start to feel worse as it goes on. The obvious ones, I mean, I had sepsis one time, didn't know I had it. Went to the doctor and said, "You look bad." I'm like, well, what else is new? No, you really do look bad. And it was
thanks, Doc.
It was right at just under 103. So, and for adults, that's not good.
No, anything over 100 for an adult is awful.
So I remember telling the doc, "So, are you going to give me something for that?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm going to give you a trip to the emergency room. You're going to check in, and I'm going to admit you. That's
man,
that's what you're getting."
So you knew you didn't feel great.
I felt awful. And it was sepsis brought on by a kidney stone that had everything infection kind of blocked up.
Yeah, so. And I don't have to remind anyone of this, but sepsis will kill you.
Oh, it will kill. Yeah. That's why. Hence the emergency room, and you're being admitted. Not, oh, here, take a pill. Let me know if it works for you. No, they knew.
So if you've learned anything in this hour of a podcast, folks, it's go to the hospital when you have a temperature of 103.
Yes.
Yeah.
That usually is going to be bad for like little kids. They sometimes have that with some illnesses they have. And that's not as bad with them usually.
Right.
But if you're an adult and it's 103, you got to get something done.
So in the words of Foreigner, you were hot-blooded.
I was hot-blooded for sure.
Check it and see.
Yeah.
Let's speaking of hot-blooded, I don't even know how that's a segue.
We're going to
try it here. You know who's hot-blooded? The Pac-12 and the Big Ten.
My God.
There it is. That's all I got.
We're not playing football. I've already said it once. We're not playing, said the Big Ten commissioner.
And then they doubled down. Neil, they doubled down.
We're not playing it. End of story. Now we're playing it.
We're just kidding.
All that other stuff.
Third time's a charm.
We just wanted to see how long we could string you along. We're going to play.
We fibbed. Neil, I don't get it. Like, okay. I'm going to slightly break this down because it's not entirely local news, but there are a lot of fans around here that are big-time Pac-12, Big Ten fans. They've got teams, especially Big Ten. If you're not an SEC fan, you're probably a Big Ten fan from around here. So what on earth, Neil? Like, that's what I don't get. Like, I understand that they're seeing the plans from the ACC and the SEC, but they saw the ACC and the SEC plans. It's not like they just got revealed the plans of everybody else's conference season. They're like, oh, I guess we should just freaking play now. Like, they were making these decisions while the ACC and the SEC were making their decisions. And now all of a sudden you're starting to see teams that are battling COVID as effectively as they possibly can. For instance, I did just read Charlotte football had to cancel its UNC game this upcoming weekend. We're talking some East Coast football here. And they'll postpone it. But what will end up happening is Charlotte football had one guy test positive they had nobody test positive, but they had to contact trace a few offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And that had them back out. But that's how this works, and you just go get another game. Like, I understand it's a money grab, I want to double down on this a little bit. I understand that college football money, nice. Yeah, it's a money grab. I'm glad you played that. That's terrific. I just want to keep listening to it.
I can't, because then you'll have to pay.
Yeah, but I like it. But you're right, though.
We can get 15 seconds.
That's what she said. I know it comes down to money. But we also, and I want to give a fair caveat to this, because again, I'm not trying to be a doomsdayer here, but we have teams proving that you can also test thoroughly, repetitively, keep your distance, keep your kids smart, don't go out and freaking party all weekend with like 30 guys and a bunch of flip cup and call it a day. Like you can get your team ready for football in this new era of hyper safety, so to speak. Yeah, with CDC guidelines, with, you know, just health and wellness from your local health department. You can keep COVID out of your football team. I've seen high school football teams do it all summer. They've been trying so hard to get to this point. I don't understand why the Big Ten and the Pac-12 didn't at least explore what the ACC and the SEC's guidelines were and what they were planning on doing. Like, while everybody else made this decision 3.5 weeks ago, hey, we're going to play some college football, they just said, the heck with this. We're not even going to look at it.
Because of the heart issue. That's they reacted to a report that talked about the inflammation around the heart.
Right, myocarditis.
Yes. And then the guy who wrote the report says, don't use that to cancel the football season. That's not a good idea. He says, with viruses, you get inflammation around the heart. It does happen.
Right.
So there was no indication that that was all being caused simply by COVID and that it was going to be awful and the guys have ongoing heart issues forever because of it. He never said that in there, but that disease or that illness, whatever you want to call it, can cause those things, I guess, if left unchecked. But they made their decision kind of based on that. And the other schools, I think they brought in their medical staff and went, those things happen, you can treat it. So let's roll on.
Here's my main question for the Pac-12. When they announced that they weren't going to play football and that they were not going to play sports until December, and now the NCAA's come out and said you can start college basketball on November 25th based on your guidelines. Well, now the Pac-12, from a basketball perspective, are they going to reverse course?
I do know this. If this was a cold cup of coffee right now,
sure.
If I had Mick Cronin's head in here, I could set it on it. It would be warm in 30 seconds about right now.
Sure.
UCLA men's basketball coach, I guarantee, is livid about it.
Yeah, I'd be livid.
So I can't play for 5 weeks. Everyone else in the country can.
I will say it. I think you made too hasty of a decision.
I do too.
And I think that's why I've been so impressed with the way the KHSAA has taken control of its situation. I know not everyone has approved of everything that Andy Beshear and the KHSAA has decided this spring and this fall. But in the spring, we didn't know that much. So they made
that
a decision.
Is correct.
Now we do. And now they're making decisions based on that. And now we have teams across the state that are either playing, you know, playing sports or they're attacking the virus in the way that they know how. You know, just recently, as a matter of fact, I saw Todd Griffin break the news that Caldwell's having to cancel some events for the next couple of days and they'll reassess further. It's unfortunate, but if we were going to play this season, that's what it was going to come down to. You were going to have to monitor the health within your county and see how things were going. And that's no different from a state level. Some states are battling COVID much more in much more dire situations than others. Other states not having to deal with it at all. I mean, you got two or three states that have 3% positivity or less. So entire states.
Yeah.
So
that's why I don't think you need a national whatever, or even in a state a statewide whatever, because communities are far different. I mean,
yeah,
Carlisle County that. Don't have much going on, but you get, you know, Jefferson County, Lexington, Fayette County just went under 10%. They're out of the hot zone now, but I like just letting the communities, especially if you have responsible people running them, just let them handle it. They kind of know what's going on in their community.
Right.
And let them do that.
Well, I think from a national and a state perspective, you can have some sort of limitation, but I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with you in the sense that from a statewide organization, there's federal rights and there's states' rights. And at some point, states can make decisions that are beneficial to their neighbors and to themselves. And that's happened, you know, I think. Yeah, again, whether you agree with the politics across the country or not, you have states that have been battling it in different ways. But at some point, the sports governing bodies were going to have to make a decision on what was going to happen with 2020 and 2021. And it looks like we've found some sort of clarity from a football perspective. You know, right after the Big Ten and the Pac-12 made their decisions, then the FCS came. Actually, the FCS came through with its announcement before the Pac-10 or Pac-12 and Big Ten did.
Yeah.
And I want to jump into that. So it looks like FCS football, they have set the schedule for playoffs, I believe, in the spring. Fall ball is the big thing right now that's fixing to occur for FCS programs. It looks like September 12th through December 31st. So you can go up to and including New Year's Eve, which that would kind of be really cool feature if you had some teams, you know, a.k.a. Knock on wood. Let's say, what if Dean Hood and the Racers got together for New Year's Eve and had, like, Neil, it's just coming to me. What if you had a New Year's Eve Christmas game, like a winter, like a scrimmage, like your
scrimmage, okay.
Yeah, like a
yeah, it's fine.
Like instead of doing your spring scrimmage, you know, like your spring ball, your spring game, what if you had your New Year's Eve game between your blue squad and your gold squad? Anyways, I'm just thinking out loud there.
No,
I think
New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I have certain traditions I like doing, and that would knock me out of all those.
Well,
just no.
Well, I'll report on it.
Pick another day.
I'll report on it and just imagine like an 11 o'clock in the morning game for 2 hours.
New Year's Day?
No, not New Year's Day. No, heck no, not New Year's Day. We'd all be hungover. Fall ball is going to consist of 12 hours per week maximum, 4 hours per day maximum, and no more than 5 days per week. So if you spread it out over a five-day period, you can't go any further than that. So it does look like Murray State's like fall ball schedule will resume fairly soon.
Good.
I knew that they had been working out, you know, all leading up to what was going to be the FCS season, and then they didn't.
And
so,
we're looking also like a February 27th opener, most likely, although it could be the 20th. But if it's the 27th, you're looking at probably a seven-game schedule.
Yep. And I'm writing those down because those dates are pretty important.
There is no way to go. You're not going to go back.
No.
And if you go forward, you're just knocking off games.
Yeah. And here's the other thing too. And this is something you and I talked pre-show, that there is going to be a gentle overlap with FCS football's start and college football's or college basketball's end.
That's going to be crazy.
For guys like you and I, it's going to be a challenge because any sort of postseason that Murray State men's basketball and women's basketball, you know, embraces or has an opportunity for is probably going to overlap with the start of football.
There is also a discussion, and I don't know at what level, of pausing football for 1 week. That would knock another week of schedule off, by the way, for OVC tournament. No game that week.
So you can observe the basketball schedule. Yeah. Well, I mean,
and so but there's another week off of it if you do that.
With the OVC staff.
Well, that's it. It's not like we have unlimited staff.
No, especially not in COVID.
Yeah.
You know, especially not when you have taken certain precautions and measures to make sure that you're still a business at the end of this.
Yeah.
And the OVC, whether people agree with it or not, is a business at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is.
You know, whether you agree with some decisions at any level whatsoever, the OVC has to somehow make money and survive. So,
and we haven't even talked high school. I mean, Sweet 16, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that going to be a different weekend? Will they try to combine the tournaments into one? I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, that's the other thing, too. From a KHSAA perspective, Wednesday's meeting was fairly normal. They pretty much announced that that high school basketball is on for the start of its normal routine. Now, what those games and schedules will look like and how you handle your fan bases, I think that's probably going to look a lot different in 2020-2021. But if you're looking at, say, a first region tournament and then a state tournament right around the same time that FCS football and Murray State men's and women's basketball is,
I'll
be run to death. And, I mean, I'm run to death now just trying to keep my head above water.
I mean, so, I don't know what you and all the writers who work for you will do with all that.
All one.
Oh, sorry.
That's a good plug. I appreciate it. That's terrific. Yeah. I will say this, shameless plug here, even though this is not affiliated with the Paducah Sun, this podcast, I will say that if you get a chance, I was lucky enough over the last few weeks to...
I was lucky enough
to talk to Coach John Beam and his former offensive lineman in New Tagovailoa. They are the stars, so to speak, of the most recent season of Last Chance U.
Still haven't seen it.
Laney College, it is terrific.
I blame Yellowstone for that. I was going to watch it and got into Yellowstone.
Look, there's nothing wrong with that. Kevin Costner is a fine, you know, a fine actor, a fine man. So that's not a bad decision. But Laney College, season 5 for Last Chance U. New had a lot of really positive things to say about, you know, his experience so far at Murray State. You know, this is a unique opportunity for he and his family. And he didn't know he was going to be a star on Last Chance U. I mean, it's a documentary. You know, they film as real as possible, you know, as allowed for television and for streaming services. And so,
and they use the best stuff.
They try to. Yeah.
That's
so
kind of
the
way that works.
Yeah. They're definitely trying to spin a theme and a story.
Yeah.
But
they don't show you everything. They can't.
Yeah.
But they try to show you the best stuff.
As much as they can.
And
exactly.
Craft a story with that.
Yeah. Like, we didn't see all the dirt and grime with The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. I mean, hell, he produced it.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't going to see the nitty gritty. And we saw some rough stuff in Last Dance.
That's
what
I heard. I haven't watched that either.
Man, it's so good, Neil. But it's not perfect, but it's really good. But yes, this last season of Last Chance U, I binge watched it in 2 days. Watched 9 hours worth of Last Chance U in roughly, well, obviously 9 hours, but in 2 days. And it's really good. A little crass, but I mean, you know, it's college football. I mean,
and it's a documentary.
You got an MF
for
every once in a while.
Let's recut that.
Yeah.
You don't.
No, you're getting in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, and the emotions in winning and losing and success and sacrifice. So. I certainly enjoyed it, and if you get a chance, that printed this past weekend. The headline was "Next Chance New," so pretty,
all right,
you know. So I'm really, really excited about that piece, and it does seem to be getting some traction around the country. So, that's the note on college football. We're definitely looking forward to seeing what's going to happen at the FBS level. We already have had that. Exciting to see, you know, where FCS football is going to go. That being said, Neil, where are you going to be on Friday night?
I am this week doing another Callaway County game. I did the opener with Marshall County last week. They looked pretty good. The Lakers did. And this week they get a stiff test against Paducah Tillman. So
yep.
It's the home opener for Callaway County. But pretty sharp in their opener, considering the lack of the number of practices that they had together. Was really very impressed. But the game went off really nice. People, I think, did it, for the most part, a great job at social distancing. Now, there were clusters of people that I'm just assuming were family members sitting together.
Sure.
Because that's what I saw. I wasn't the police, so I wasn't doing any of that.
Right.
But it looked as if everything worked out really well. You know, people were wearing masks, especially whenever they got up and went somewhere. I did see a gentleman. He was doing some things because of the heat, came up, and he passed out and hit his head on the rail because he got overheated with his mask on, but it turned out to be okay. And but other than that, I saw no issues with it. The game was well played, and you could tell for the kids, you know, the band played, they had cheerleaders there. It was kind of a night, a return to normalcy without it being 100% normal.
Right.
Did really good. I mean, that's the first athletic event I've been to since the girls' Sweet 16. Haven't been anything since then where I was getting set to do the Marshall County-Henderson County game. Just finished my interview with Aaron Beth, turned the corner, and Adam Wells says they're going to cancel the tournament. So I didn't get to do that game.
Right.
I did a game the day before, and that was it. So I didn't do anything on that particular Thursday when they canceled the tournament. And this was the first event that I've been to, so kind of felt good to be out there. I really liked it.
Yeah, I you and I will be at the same game.
You're going to cover that, too?
I will be at Callaway Tillman. Yeah, McCracken plays Marshall. One of our staff writers, John Futrell, will be at that game. And then I'll be at Paducah and Callaway. The Blue Tornado, which actually just unveiled a new logo recently. But Paducah Tillman.
Is it still a tornado?
It is. It is still a tornado.
Still,
it's still blue.
So yeah. What'd they change? I mean, come on. What
just,
can you do?
It just looked a little sharper.
Yeah,
it was in today's Paducah
Does
sun.
It blow or is it good? Well, it's a tornado. Yeah, of course. It automatically.
Yeah.
It's got to.
It's obviously. It it's obviously terrific. But Tillman rushed for more than 240 yards last week against Graves, but only managed 4 points, or excuse me, 7 points because of 4 turnovers. Callaway, on the other hand, you know, gave Marshall County, yeah, I mean, that's only the 6th time in 41 matchups that they've won that game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's a big-time win for Callaway. You know, there's a lot of momentum behind that type of a win. Tillman's not played in Murray against Callaway since 2010. It's been in 10 years. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's been 11 or 12 years since they were District 1 Class 3A rivals, because Callaway used to be 3A until it moved to 4A.
Yeah, I don't know the year that happened.
Yeah, I think it was in the late 2000s before I was involved in sports. I was going back and looking at some KHSAA records, and you know, I knew that Callaway at one point had not been 4A. But anyways, I digress. I think it'll be a good football game. I know Tillman's looking to kind of, you know, get that first win in their column, and Callaway would love nothing better than to move to 2-0 and double their win total from last season. So, you know, Chris Champion's in the middle of building his program, Jonathan Smith in the middle of building his program, and both teams are healthy. I expect it to be a pretty good football game, and the weather's going to be perfect. So
yeah, I think Callaway, their starting center, who didn't play last week, he won't be available, has an ankle injury for a couple of weeks. But other than that, they're good.
Yeah. Neil, I appreciate the time, as always. I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the fall develops.
I'm just glad that we have some sports. We have football, getting ready to have even more college football this week.
Yep.
And then the week after. I know on our station, we were all set to carry a really good game, Memphis and Houston. And then Memphis, they got lots of COVID cases.
Yep.
It's disputable as to how many between their health department and the football program. But now we have Baylor going up against Houston. So we'll have that.
Sounds good to me.
And they just change games on the fly, and there may be some more before we know it.
Hey, look, the one thing that I have started to find out is maybe it's not so difficult to schedule games after all.
You can if you have – it's also easier when you don't have to worry about making your fan base mad. Well, I was all planning to go and tailgate. Well, they're not tailgating, not going to be at the game. You're not going to hack off many people.
Yeah, we're just going to play.
I just want to watch you play. You're a Baylor fan. Can we play? I just want to watch us play this weekend.
And Kentucky plays this weekend, right?
They do not. No, SEC is the 26th.
I keep
SEC.
Forgetting it's the 26th. I keep thinking.
Because my wife is out of town. She's going to be out of town. I said, boy, it's great timing because all the football games start. And then was so dejected to see that the SEC was the next week.
Yeah,
I
keep forgetting that.
So I'm asking her to go out of town the next week, too. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going
to
happen.
Tell her to get on out of here.
That's it. Maybe her and the dishwasher can go do something next week.
That sounds like a great idea.
All right.
Neil, as always, I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Ed.